The scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
With the help of the Lord, I want to dwell with you upon Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The same forever, we see in this text and in this chapter. Now, first point of attention is this, that Christ is the same forever because Christ is the beginning. He was with God. He was God. The Word that became flesh. He is not from last year, but from the years of eternity. The second point of attention, Christ is the center. And therefore the apostle can say he is the same today. He is in the center of his church and in the center of this world, in the middle of it, to govern all things, as we saw already yesterday evening. And in the third place, Christ is the end of all things. He is the same forever. And he will finish it for his people. Christ, the same forever, because he's the beginning, the center, and the end. 2:47 stands as 1, 2, and 3, 5, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Psalter 2:47 stands as 1, 2, and 3, and 5, and 6. Dear congregation, maybe this is your anxious question. Will everything remain the same this year? And for some people, this is a frightening question. We are not sure about that. We can't say. We can't give the answer for sure. They wish wholeheartedly that all things will remain the same. But they can't say. They wish because matters as they are at this moment are best. However, what will happen with respect to my health, my work maybe, my house, my family, my parents, my children? There can be some concerns already. And you took them on your back as a burden into this new year. Will there be a big change in my life? Some people are longing for that, for a change in their lives. For my matters are getting stuck in their lives. They are longing for a change. They are longing for something. They have a hope. A hope that's a wish that's until now unfulfilled. The Hebrews, the Apostle Paul probably is writing to, are also going through many changes and turmoil. There was a great stir round about them. They experienced mockery and resistance from their Gentile neighbors, the Gentiles living next to them, but also from the Jews that were rejecting that new doctrine about a certain Jesus Christ who gave his life as a sacrifice for the sins, who made a perfect work. They couldn't believe it. They were rejecting him, and they were mocking these Christians. And the Roman government, they were not sure about what to think about this new group. Were it Jews? Or a new group of philosophers? They only recognized the Jews, but not this group. And they were eager to persecute them, as it also happened later on in the area the Hebrews were probably living. So they were experiencing hard times. And there was many a reason to be confused about. Whom should they believe? What will faith cost them more? Will they stand their ground? They saw that pastors passed by, were there for some time preaching and proclaiming the gospel. They got the letter written to them, with the purpose that letter was read in the church service. Pastors passed by and some passed away. Whom should they believe? There were also some errors where God starts to work. The error will come too. Because Satan everywhere tries to build his chapel next to the church, where he has his followers, heretics, people that say, well, we can live as we like, we are redeemed, and the law has no authority anymore over us. We see it all in the New Testament. And may there be the Hebrews were suffering from those people too. But Paul writes, don't be confused about all such things. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Remember that faith you have received from the Lord. The Holy Spirit has worked in your heart. Remember that. For faith will stand its ground. You won't, as you are, but faith will stand its ground, not in the strength of that pastors that passed by, but faith may stand firmly in the word they have spoken, the word that became flesh, the word that's speaking about that Savior, about that one that gave himself as that perfect sacrifice. And then Paul is taking great pains to explain to the Hebrews that he is the one who has fulfilled all sacrifices in the Old Testament, and that he did a perfect work, and that he is in heaven to the support, to the help of his church. Remember the faith by which you trust in that Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And he has to add more to his flock also this year. The number is not yet full. There may be some sheep lost, perishing, still going their own ways. He has to add more to his flock, to bring in his fold, to bring them food they will live on. They are still seeking for other food, and it does not satisfy their souls. But they won't acknowledge, oh sinner, when will be the day you will acknowledge that there is only food, a perfect work with that great shepherd. He is the author and finisher of faith, as the Paul already wrote earlier on in this letter, in this sermon. The author and finisher of faith. He is at the start, and he will finish his work. He is the author and finisher of faith. And listen how he was on this earth. Just like you, Hebrews, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, even the cross that cursed death, dead, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father in heaven, of the throne of God. And from this Savior, he now is confessing, writing, that he is the same forever, yesterday and today and forever. The same you got to know through the preaching of the word. The same you know last year. The same who is still revealing himself through the proclamation of the gospel. What you ask with respect to what? He is the same. With respect to what? He is the rock of ages, a firm and solid ground and foundation through all generations. With respect to what? The first answer is this. He is the start. He is the beginning. In Dutch language, there is an expression, I'm not from yesterday. I'm not sure you have the same expression. I'm not from yesterday. But as Dutch people, We want to make clear by this expression that we know more than other people think. That we are quite experts in several things. We are not from yesterday. That means we know much. When the Word of God states otherwise, something different. Man is from yesterday and knows not. That's the teaching of the old friend to Job, sitting on the dunghill, lost all his children, lost all his possessions. He is sitting there at the dunghill, and his friends have gathered around him. And Bildad is teaching him, we are from yesterday, he says, and we know not. Should we ask from the Lord that he will give account of his doings, of his ways? We are from yesterday and we know not. We are not experts. God is from everlasting, but we are from yesterday. And above all, furthermore, our mind is darkened by sin. Our corrupted will is directing us all time in the wrong directions. We go every direction except the right direction. If we are guided by our own will, and his build-up is going on, he stands, as it were, next to you. You hear from violence, from injustice in this world, and you're wondering, should God change his justice? Does God prefer judgment? Does the Almighty live still? And does he prefer justice? Does God allow all these things, all what happens on this earth, to poor people, to little children? All seems to be corrupted. It is. Not seemingly, it is. But does God prefer judgment? No. God, in his long suffering and forbearance over mankind, is still long suffering and has again added a new and old year to his long suffering. In the time of Noah, 120 years. In our times, almost 2,000 years after the resurrection of the Lord. How great is his long suffering. But he will never allow that righteousness shall vanish totally. No. He will not pervert justice. He won't. Who likes to remain a sinner, to go his own way, for sure, he once shall have God against him. And God will give him due recompense for it. He will not pervert his justice. He won't. That remains the same also this year. And God proclaims this, reveals this, so that we also now will beseech him, that judge, that by his Son will judge the world, we will pray him for grace to have mercy upon us if we are not saved yet. For he is righteous and he is holy, and he won't pervert justice or judgment. We always ask those questions about the ways of his providence. And God's people may know and may believe that's not only his providence, but his fatherly taking care of them. But many times they are murmuring. They are full of resistance. And if it's not, then it's grace. But he won't change. And his Son won't change. He won't change his law. He won't change his will. And his providence, his fatherly care is good for the best of his church, for the furtherance of his kingdom. It will remain the same. Thou art the same, O Lord, forever. But we are but from yesterday, and we know not. What do we know? We have many things to wish, but what do we know? God's people has something to look forward to, for his firm and solid promises, he will make them true. But who forsakes the Lord, he has to fear sorrow after sorrow. Maybe not immediately to go through them, but sooner or later, they will be there. They have to fear sorrow after sorrow. But Jesus Christ, Paul writes, he is not from yesterday. No. He is yesterday to today and also forever the same. He is not from yesterday. He was yesterday the same. But he is not from yesterday. He is from eternity. And he sides with his Father. And he knows the desire of his Father after perfect righteousness. And he will maintain that righteousness. He knows his Father because he is from the very beginning. Before the foundation of the world, he was there, and he is still the same. He was with God. He is with God. He is God himself. And he is enjoying his Father's righteousness. He's glad about it. And he was, such as to say, grieved to the bottom of his heart when he saw creature, mankind, forsaking the Lord. And he was so willingly to give himself, to restore the damage done to the glory of God the Father, that he was such offended by man forsaking his Creator. And he gave himself before the foundation of the world. He is not from yesterday. His outgoings, his goings forth are from old, from the days of eternity. So it's not necessary to tell him something. He knows all. He knows all what's suitable, what's needed to the glory of His Father. And He has provided for all in the fulfillment of time. He knows. He searches your hearts. My heart. He does. And He tries the heart. He is someone that's revealing Himself as a man that knows all things. Like He did at the well of Jacob. That woman said, "Come and see. A man which told me all things that I ever did, that I ever thought, that I ever said, he is not from yesterday. He knows all things." And that's a holy terror for those who are still without Him. But there is also a holy joy. No man has ever seen God. No man can stand His holiness, His righteousness. Leave alone that man will know God. But he that was in the bosom of his Father, the only begotten Son, who is not from yesterday, he has declared him to us. Not full of wrath, as we deserve, but full of grace and truth. And he is the same from all eternity to the end of this world, yea, even to all eternity, for his people. For they will see him, as John saw him at Patmos, the Lamb, as being slaughtered, as being killed. They do not need anymore there his blood to cleanse them from all filthiness, that's true. But they will still see what was the cause. They are now in glory, then in glory, with him forever. And therefore the church has a solid rock, the rock of ages, to trust itself to him. From the very first promise in paradise, that God would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. From that very first promise on to the last day, there is a people putting their trust in his firm promises, for he is the same. What respect is he more the same? Well, he is in the center of his church. Like in the last year, and like in all years, now this case, this matter will be in the center of attention, and then that case, and a day later, or even a few hours later, there is something else in the center of attention. And we can go from one new thing to another new thing. And that will also be the case this year. Every new hour, there is a new matter in the center of attention. And some are for some days, but then something else is showing itself up to the attention of mankind. And that will also be the case in the church. In the churches. But let yourself not be confused by this. the apostle would like to direct you to someone else. Christ is in the center and in the middle of His church because He is the mediator, and His church every day needs Him as the mediator between God and man. He is today the same. He is the Lamb that has not taken away sin. That's also true. But that's not in the text in John that takes away the sin. He must be in the center of the church, and He is. He is the preacher of God's righteousness on the one side, and God's grace at the other side, because He is the mediator and He is in the middle. You are allowed. You are directed to Him by His Word, because you are allowed to seek and to find in Him what pastors have spoken to you before and will speak to you if the Lord grants this congregation to receive another pastor. They are only men, servants of the Lord, passing by. But He is in the center. He is in the middle of His church because He is the mediator. The avenging sword of God's righteousness hit Him. If you seek Me, let them go, He said of His poor disciples. And the sword of God's vengeance hit Him and consumed Him to save sinners. It hit Him, and now grace is flowing from His wounds, and He is in the center as an ever-flowing fountain today, because He is a lamp that takes away sin, present, every day, present, until the last day, in His church, where His Word, where the Gospel is proclaimed. And you can't put things right. Right? You tried to do your best to put things right in your life before God, but you can't manage. Yesterday not. And maybe you have some new resolutions for the new year to change that and to do something else and to seek the Lord more earnestly, maybe. Well, I have to encourage you to do so, but you will experience that your nature is so corrupted. You can't things put right yourself despite your good, your new resolutions. And then we have but a faint impression of what God requires from us, His righteousness. I started with the example of Job. Well, Job himself, he has to acknowledge that his righteousness does not meet in any measure God's righteousness. But it's written from him that he was a God-fearing, an upright, a holy man, we should say. And he was shrinking away from sin, even from the paths that were leading to sin. He was praying for his children, for he said,
Maybe they did, or they even thought something wrong, and have to make atonement for me, to bring a sacrifice. That was Job. But he even has to acknowledge that God's, that he, his righteousness could to no measure meet God's righteousness. For Calvin, when he was commenting the book of Job, this was his point, to explain the righteousness of God. He wanted to learn something from Job. If thou, O Lord, will bring me before thy judgment seat, I deserve to be thrown away on a dunghill. I have so many stinking sins. That's our righteousness. We must throw it on the dunghill. But Christ, though God will not change, he is the mediator. I will remain the same too. The mediator in the middle between such a righteous God and an unrighteous man. Man remains the same too. You are the same as yesterday. You can't put things right. You can't change yourself. As I said yesterday with that example of the lion, maybe you remember it. We can't put a lion in chains. We can't put a sinner in chains that he sins not outwardly. But we can change our own hearts and the hearts of our children. But Christ is today the same too. I am the same, but he is also the same. And that I am the same, oh, that's so. That must put me to shame. And all of us, that we are the same as yesterday, that we try to do better, but we can't. But he is the same too. And he does not require anything from us, because through that one sacrifice, he has perfected all those who are going through him to the Father. On that way paved by his blood, by that fresh blood, always fresh, also today. It's in no time outdated, no. But it's best to use it today. By faith, O Lord, grant me faith and help my unbelief. I am the same, but thou art the same too as yesterday. And from everlasting. And thou art in the center of the church. Jesus in the middle. On Calvary. Between those two thieves. Robbers. That had to die. They deserved it. And he was in the middle. And he makes division. Between the one and the other. And he is standing in the midst of dying sinners, perishing sinners, uplifted as the serpent in the desert. He is still the same, that everybody who will look unto him may recover from sin. Am I not righteous in my own eyes? Then he is the same, the righteous one. Am I not holy? in my own experience, He is the same, He is holy. Am I not God's servant? He is God's servant day and night. And He is obedient and faithful in it. At the right hand of His Father, He is living day and night to make, to do intercession. Am I not without concern and fear? He is uplifted above all fears and concerns. All is governed by His Father through Him, and the government is in His hands, and He is in the middle of His church, standing there, uplifted there by the gospel, to comfort His poor and anxious church by His Holy Spirit. He sent to this earth to dwell in their hearts, to be in the middle of their life. Christ, He is in the middle, and therefore He is the same even today. Our last point of attention. Is there also a cause to look forward to Him, to have an anxious longing for Him, to be at ease for the future? Yes. Because He is also the end of His church. He is also the end of His church. And therefore His church is looking forward to Him. Nothing is so quickly waxing old as news. Next hour already. But let that not bother you. What in the world is will pass away. Covetousness, the lust of the flesh, the greatness of this world, the pride of this world, and we are looking to it, and desiring with our hearts to walk after it, but it's fading away. It's passing away. It gives no sense to do this. The world will pass away. Heaven and earth will wax old. Let there not be your treasure in this earth, but let it be in heaven, for everything shall change, and it will change again, and it will wax old. And nothing remains the same, but He will. Forever. His years will not end. He is the end of all things, of everything, of everybody. You say of everybody, also for those who are not His own, yes, because everyone will end up before His judgment seat. And some will be there at His feet. And some will be at His right hand. But every one of us have to end up at His judgment seat. He is the end of everything. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And therefore He still wants to convince you, just like that woman at the well of Jacob, to convince you, to teach you your own ways, and to lead you the same time to Himself. I always find this such a masterpiece of counseling there at Jacob's well. You want to counsel people? Oh, read John 4 and pray that the Spirit of Christ may be also in you. But then you must first be a subject, an object of His counseling too. And He still wants to do this. He is the same. That you, before His judgment seat, will not end up under His feet, but at His right hand, to everlasting life. And who is seeing Him, and who will believe in Him, and puts his trust in Him, or her trust, he has eternal life. But who's lacking the Son, he is not. The wrath of the Father remains on him. But who trusts himself, who confides in him, has everlasting life. For that's even the will of the Father. You ask, what's the will of the Father? What's His will today? For the future? That a sinner should believe in a Son He has sent to this world to be the Savior of sinners. That's the will of His Father. And He has revealed this. And He still reveals it to us. He is the same. So that we not end up at His judgment seat, under His feet. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But those who will do that will of God will remain forever. Because He is the same. Christ in the midst. Because He is the beginning and the end. The church has its firm foundation in Him and is looking forward to Him. Because He is today the same. Though people change and times will change and circumstances will change and you have to pass to go through much turmoil and troubles and sorrow, He is the same. What a comfort and consolation. He then comes with strength. He then comes with a solution. Himself is. Because when He is in the trouble, it's no trouble anymore. He is the same also in the future. Even though I am so changeable. God and His Son will not change. They are from everlasting to everlasting. The same. And therefore, I direct all my enemies of God's honor and of my own salvation to Him. Because He is the very same as yesterday. He has all power in heaven and on earth. All His enemies come under His feet. As He has promised to His church, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Always. Always you have to go through. I'm with you. That you know, if you found in Him the way, I'm with you always. There is always a way, because He is the way, and He remains the same in that. Even for an unfaithful son of man, child of man, the mediator between God and man, I ask you this morning, have you some labor to do for Him? because He is still the same, and He will be tomorrow and forevermore. Have you some work to do for Him? You can do yourself. Oh, the more you have, the more you will experience, He's the same forever. Oh, let that Holy Spirit also this year labor to your soul, O child of God, for He will not take any rest before He has perfected His people. Will that be on this side of the grave? No. But He will do through their lives, through their dying, and take them cleansed from all filthy sins. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. O Lord, do not forsake the works of Thy own hands. Will Thou it finish for me? I will do it because I am the same. Because He was, He is, and He will be for His church a Savior from their sins. Today, tomorrow, and every day present. Not a stranger. No, not a stranger. But they got to know Him. And they got to know themselves. They themselves remain the same. But He also remains the same. He is the very same person that gave Himself for them in the tribunal of God to take away all their curse and all their sins. Amen. Let us thank the Lord. O Lord, we thank Thee for having another opportunity also in this new year to meet each other, to listen to the proclamation of Thy word. Will Thou be the after preacher to testify in our hearts by the Holy Spirit what's proclaimed this morning to the best of our souls, to the comfort of Thy people. Accept our thanks in the name of Thy Lord Jesus Christ, and be with us also in the furtherance of this day. Heed all our ways. Keep us from sinning, and give us among each other good talkings to the honor of Thy name, that we may meet our families in unity, fellowship, and that we may also experience some spiritual fellowship, even if church walls are dividing some of us. O Lord, grant us to meet each other again in the furtherance of this week. Be with us in all our doings, in all our concerns. O Lord, we ask Thee, for Jesus' sake only. Amen.